It's time for Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, take us with you in the Odyssey app. Yeah, we're here. We are. We're here, right? Check one, two. One, two.
Oh, yeah.
Are we on the air? Attaboy. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning to everybody out there in Douglasville.
All right.
Out there on the west side, out I-20.
Out I-20.
Out I-20. What's that place you like going to out there? Amber Malls or Amber or Arbor?
Arbor Place.
Arbor. Arbor Place. That's it.
Arbor Place.
I don't go usually farther west from where I am. I come down Thornton Road and I make a left and head.
You go back towards into the city.
Yeah. I head to other places.
Yeah.
But I've been out there.
Yeah.
Been out there. Well, good morning.
Yeah. Good morning to you.
It is a very, there's nothing more boring than perfection.
Yeah.
So yeah, every once in a while, you got to have some hills and valleys and things like that, and there's grinches and the technical problems.
In TV, we call that the teleprompter breaking down.
I'll go with that.
Okay.
Okay.
That's nothing like the adventure of, and you got to read something that somebody else didn't write, and you got, you know, that's an adventure.
See, now I've done live TV, but I've not done it where you actually had to rely on the teleprompter, give you the scores,
with something
give
that was
injuries.
Written by somebody else.
Yeah.
Because if you wrote it, you say, okay, I know what's supposed to go here. You can kind of recall a little bit of what you wrote, but if you count on what somebody else wrote.
Yeah.
That's a whole
Ralph Cramden, right? Hamina.
Whole different kettle of fish. You're doing that, you know, it really is.
Hey, listen, now you got me thinking about network news. that Albert Brooks scene. But anyway, good morning, everybody. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. It's January the 26th.
Championship Sunday.
It is a championship, as Mr. Crenshaw said. Championship Sunday. We're going to talk about the games. Obviously, if you can get in front of a TV, we have got both of them for you right here. NFC Championship game is first. That pregame is at 2 o'clock. Kick at 2:30, followed by the AFC.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, we'll give our thoughts on
that. Hawks, got the issues, man.
Yeah.
You got a lot of people beat up and injured. And last night they lost to the Raptors. I mean, they lost back-to-back to the Raptors.
Yeah, they did.
Almost nobody loses to these guys. But 117-94, Hawks fall. At home, it was a terrible game. A lot of turnovers, and let's hope they can get better. They go on the road, take on the T-Wolves tomorrow night. That won't be easy, but we're going to get to see our homeboy Ant-Man. They're going to play them tomorrow night.
And we have that game for you too, right here.
Yep.
7:30 pregame tip at 8 o'clock. Yeah, we talked about this yesterday with Terrell. This team has shown to be streaky lately. There's two games here, one game there, but it's been streaky. Before the King Holiday game, three in a row.
Yeah.
Looking good.
Yeah.
What we're talking about, how these guys are going to perform in the playoffs. There was bounce. There was youth. There was up and down the court.
Yeah, people healthy now. And that's the thing with this team. With this particular group, if you get everybody healthy and on the same page, I think we're one of the top five teams in the East. But that's if.
Yeah.
You got your folks healthy, and right now you got some people out.
But the thing is, the top teams still find ways during adversity. And that's the thing that gets you worried, because now it's been four games in a row that they have lost. And they're going on the road for this this Minnesota game.
And that won't be easy.
No, it won't be. And so I just don't know. There's a whole lot of wait and see. We haven't got to the All-Star break yet, but a little bit of concern.
Well, yeah, that's
a little bit,
but
if you're going to get nasty hurt and all that sort of stuff, this is the time to do it and have yourself ready, you know, when spring hits and we head into summer.
That's what you
playoffs
hope.
Playoffs run.
That's what you hope.
Sam, Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. All right, now tell me what happened yesterday with Atlanta United.
Well, Atlanta United, boy, we go up to Chattanooga and they give up two late goals. That sounds familiar. So 2-1. But, you know, Ronnie Dyla, the new coach, said he wasn't so much concerned with the outcome. He wanted to see what fits. It's first time he's seeing his team out there actually competing in a match, although it was a friendly against Chattanooga. And so hopefully he saw some things that he liked. He had one group that played the first half and another group played the second half. So, I mean, that's the thing. Winning wasn't the main objective. Would have been nice,
yeah,
but that's not the biggest thing he wanted
to
get out
of it. So that's the story. You got to see the team. You got to see different elements of the team and how they're meshing together. And he will know now what to do moving forward. You got to, you know, whole new regime in there that's got to take a look at what's going on.
And we're still waiting to see if certain folks from across the pond get a chance to come over here and rejoin the team. Remember, we went with that with Jason Longshore yesterday.
Right.
And, you know, so we'll see.
All right. Next game. Listen, they're off till the 1st, and they take on Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
Birmingham
mm-hmm.
Legion.
Mm-hmm.
So
we'll see what happened with them.
Do we have our our guest here?
We have a guest who's
now. This has been the funnest like little bit of pregame show for our actual show, which starts at, you know, if you want to say that, at 7 o'clock. But he normally joins us in the 6 o'clock hour, and there's some stuff going on. So good morning to Mr. Kyle Sandy,
who I saw this week.
You did?
Yeah, man.
Did he have the? Did he have the?
No tie? But he was hard at work. He was at it.
Hmm.
He was good, and he's going back and forth between two gyms. He's just going back and forth.
Sparks coming off his
heels. Oh, man, he's big time. Good morning, Kyle.
Hey.
Good morning, everybody. How are you doing today?
Well, we're on the air now, so we're doing good.
That's the main thing. That's great.
Yeah. What is this Sam is talking about here? What did he see you at, and what were you up to?
Yeah, me and Sam were in the trenches at Holy Innocence at their MLK Day Classic.
Yeah.
Big event. Good girls basketball, great boys basketball. Back and forth, he was right. Yeah, it was freezing cold, man. I almost caught a cold just walking from my car into the gym that day. I did not realize just how brutal it was. It was like 15 degrees, and it was just icy, icy, icy.
But
the gym was hot.
But you know what, Kyle? It felt even worse because Greg and I were downtown to do our broadcast from the World Congress Center earlier that morning. And I was telling you, wind was made my face hurt just walking from the car.
Kyle, he experienced a little bit of Chicago. There's, you know, there's the term. You ever heard of the Hawk?
Yeah, I've heard of it, yeah.
The Hawk is not the basketball team, for those don't know. That was a name given to the wind up in Chicago. I'm sure New York has theirs and other big cities up north. But it's okay when you're out in the suburbs. But when you walk in between Water Tower and the Hancock Building down there on Michigan Avenue and the wind is coming off the lake, they call that the Hawk. And it did exactly what you felt the other day.
Yeah.
It was like icicle, the little prickly icicles on your chin and all that.
Man.
Every time you smiled, you felt like you were breaking up ice on your cheek. Yeah, that's the Hawk.
That was it. But once you got inside, you saw some great basketball. I know I did, Cal. And there were a lot of college coaches, recruiters that were in the house too, right?
Yeah, it was packed out and really a lot on the girls' side. I'm sure there were a few. On the men's side, I saw Tulane was in the gymnasium. But on the girls' side, you had Gina Auriemma from UConn. You had Bucknell, Sherelle Baker, a GAC legend, a Georgia Bulldog herself. She was there. We had schools from really all over the place. So it was a great event. I really give a Holy Innocence kudos. A lot of times I go to events and it's kind of like the same recycled teams. But this time there was a lot of great matchups, teams you don't usually get to see play. So I give them a ton of credit. That River Ridge versus Holy Innocence girls game, even with Haley Swain, who's going to Stanford, was unavailable. That was a big-time game. Finley Parker was fantastic for River Ridge with 29 points and 8 rebounds as a sophomore. But even on the boys' side, Buford versus Calvary Day might have been the game of the day. Buford won 76-72. Calvary Day with those 6'10", 6'8", great size, but Buford, tallest player, about 6'3", scrappy little team, but that was exciting. But, yes, a lot of great basketball and a ton of college coaches in the gym.
Kyle Sandy joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, by the way, that term, the Hawk, it might be a dated term. They may not use it anymore, but that was the one I grew up with here, and so what are you going to do? I want to ask you this, because you mentioned Gina Auriemma. I was talking with somebody about this the other day. Is the want to go to UConn is fever pitches it used to be? Has it been in all the years that he's been there with all the championships? And now you got Kim Mulkey doing what she's doing at LSU. You got Dawn Staley doing what she's doing. In your experiences and talking to these kids, is it that beeline up to UConn the way it used to be, or is there other locations that people gravitate toward or want to at least go to?
I think for girls that are students of the game, they still recognize and understand that Auriemma, when you talk about legendary coaches, I guess as a kid say, he is still the GOAT. So I think people do still understand that, yes, UConn, if you have UConn in the deal, even before the game, I was getting text messages circulating that, oh, Gino's going to be there. And he was there. So it is still a big deal. Now, of course, there are, as you just mentioned, other great options. You can go to LSU. You can go to South Carolina that wins all these national championships. It's not like it was 15, 20 years ago when it was UConn and the rest of the nation. Right. Like there are other great programs now, but still just from that historical factor and the fact that UConn still is right there vying for a national title every single year, they do hold a little bit more weight than maybe some other programs across the nation just with what Oriema has been able to do over all the years. So, yes, maybe people aren't just flocking there as they were in the past, but it's still, if you get an offer from UConn, that means you are extremely special.
Absolutely, absolutely. Spending time this morning with Kyle Sandy. He is social. You can find him always at KyleSandy355. And don't forget to check out Sandy Spiel on the men's side. On the boys' side, big event at Wheeler yesterday. My goodness, all the heavyweights were over there.
Yes, there were some great matchups over there at Wheeler. And how about Wheeler taking down Milton by 30 points, I believe I saw. That is a big win. And, you know, Wheeler, always great. We already know this. And they're number two in the state in that classification. And it feels like they're always just right there nipping on the heels of Grayson. They're going to give Grayson and anybody in that classification a great run for their money. I mean, I saw Wheeler play, you know, just this past weekend. And they defeated Newton at that playing for a change at Pace Academy, and they're tough. Colvin Landry's a big physical guard. They got a lot of big, strong guards that can really beat you up, and they love to play in the interior. So they're going to give Grayson a run for their money, and Grayson beat Holy Innocence by 2 points yesterday. You know, Caleb Wilson just committed to North Carolina just a couple days ago on the NBA on TNT. And that was a huge deal because, I mean, even before that happened, at that MLK event, we see all these fans in Kentucky jerseys and paraphernalia, you know, trying to show their support for Caleb. And I guess it didn't end up working out for them, but that was a huge matchup. But, yeah, a lot of great basketball has been getting played. And we don't have too many showcase events left. It's really just all the way anchored into region play now. But, yeah, great ball has been played on these weekends with these great showcase events.
Cal, what are you looking forward to now? Like you get into a region and, you know, most nights you're seeing some scores that are out of kilter. I know the GHSA met and they're talking about maybe revamping some things with the regions to match up teams that are more competitive. I don't know if you weigh in on that. I don't know how much you would like that, like to see that. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because I did get to read a couple of those articles. It's very interesting, you know, taking more of a soccer approach with the, you know, relegation teams going up and down and this and that. So that's very interesting. But again, the only way I feel like that could ever possibly work is if you did it based on sport, because like those programs that are great at cheerleading and winning championships every year and cheerleading and lacrosse and swimming, and they have to maybe move up a classification, but they are not very good at basketball or baseball or football, but they have to go up and play even, you know, in theory, stronger teams. That doesn't really work, you know. It's, you can't just view it as just one school and the entirety of the program. I feel like the only way, if you really wanted to implement that and if you thought that was going to work, would be sport-specific. You know, oh, our football team plays 4A, our basketball team plays 4A, our baseball team still playing 3A, that would just get pretty confusing. And, you know, obviously the GHSA has, you know, there's not one, you know, pill that's going to make everyone love what they do. It's going to always be difficult. There's always going to be short ends of the stick. Teams aren't just the same caliber in every single sport. It's impossible. It's an interesting theory. I don't know if it will get passed. It does get a little bit tricky with, you know, at least if you just went with the size of the school, you could kind of go with that based on enrollment and just say, hey, these teams are just good. These teams are just not that good.
Yeah.
But with the going up and down system, it does get tricky. But it is something very, very interesting. And I'll be curious to see if they ever bring it to a vote and see what happens with that.
Yeah, tough thing with that also is geographically. You put yourself in a region with a couple of schools down in the southern part of the state, and then you got to travel on Tuesday to play a region game. So that's the other thing you want to try to do and try to satisfy that. You want people zipping all over the state in the middle of the week to play a game that's for your region. Interesting concept, though, and we'll see what happens. Who have you seen that's kind of coming out of the pack that you think bears watching here the next couple of weeks?
Well, I think a team that everyone always knows that they're really, really good, right? And they just had a historical figure, a great player, graduate last year. And many people, and of course myself included, thought, okay, they're going to take a little step back into the pack. But McEachern has been fabulous on the boys' side this year. 15-3 going into this week. They scored a couple more wins. They just beat, I believe it was Norcross just the other day. McEachern has been fantastic. Chase Lumpkin, I don't even think I saw him on the varsity last year, and now he's averaging close to 20 points per game as a sophomore guard. Has been just great, a great shooter. Really took it to Newton when I watched him play. Had about 27 points or so. I give McEachern a ton of credit on the boys' side. They've been really, really good. On the girls' side, just looking at how everyone's been playing, you know, Milton girls have been really, really tough this year. Archer in Class 6A has been good. They've suffered some serious knee injuries that have ended some of their best player seasons, but they're still very, very competitive. And then North Paulding, I'd be remiss if I did not mention them. Number one in the state on the girls' side. They lost in the state championship game last year. They're back this year. Ava Andrews going to Delaware has been exceptional at that guard spot. And then Morgan Landrum, who just committed to Boston College recently as a sophomore, has really elevated her play. So looking at the Wolfpack, they are in a good spot to potentially win their first ever state title in Class 6A.
Fantastic. You know, we call this guy and he comes in and drops the knowledge as
always. He's been wonderful this morning. And he made a little bit of a pivot, too. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, when like the Marines, you adapt and adjust.
Yeah, he did.
And he did. So, hey, we want to thank you, Kyle. I had a question for you, but it ain't that important, and it can wait.
Okay, that's good.
Like that, something to look forward to.
Great to see you this week. Great to see you this week. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, guys. See ya.
Appreciate it. Right. Kyle Sandy. Check out Sandy Spiel. It's a very busy website, but it gives you everything you need to know about what's going on here. All right, now it gets interesting. Moving into the 7 o'clock hour. Yeah, it does, because we got a conga line going, man. What's that Miami Sound Machine song? Yeah, we're going to be doing that, shaking our shoulders and all that. Karen Pastena. She's going to put a wrap on the Aussie Open. We've got ourselves a champion on the men's side, a guy who is as he continues to win, people look at him with kind of a skunk eye because of what he went through last season. Then I'm going to bring back Chris Brewster. Chris Brewster, as I do my casting call and let you know about the job opportunities out there, introduced our audience to Chris a few weeks ago. Chris is going to be working with us, and I say that under the Odyssey umbrella for some things moving forward, but I also need to let our audience know about what he's got going on out there at his, I guess, location called The Vault, where you can go out open to the public on Saturdays and train. And when I say train, you're going to train in areas that if you want to be an MMA fighter, if you want to be a stunt person, if you want to be an aerialist, all things having to do with the industry, but also maybe a little Cirque du Soleil thrown in there too. Having you ready for the film industry when they have these special needs. But anyway, and Chris has got a crazy story himself. So he's going to join us coming up 7 o'clock hour. Then we're going to talk more about these Hawks. And as we get ready for this championship doubleheader today, one of the teams, of course, being the Eagles, we're going to talk to our friend Gil Tyree. He will join us coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. It's Sam and Greg on this 26th day of January, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. 92.9 The Game, take us with you on the Odyssey app. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 26th day of January. Thank you for letting us be a part. Hey, we got our Saturdays back, and we're back on Sundays, too. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning to everybody down there in Peachtree City.
All right.
Peachtree City.
Riding around in your golf cart.
In your golf cart.
A little chilly in that golf cart this week.
Keep that going just a little bit, Noelle. I know she's bringing it down here, but I had to play that one. This is one of those twofers.
Two for what?
Happy birthday, yeah. Anita Baker.
Do we want to wish her happy birthday in Atlanta? She stood us up last night.
Well, that's true, but, you know. We ain't forgetting that, but God don't like ugly, so we're going to.
Okay.
But she's relevant to what I'm going to say here.
She
shares her birthday with somebody who is, I guess you can actually say, infamous if you want to talk to her staff, and famous, Ellen DeGeneres.
Okay.
Same day. Anita Baker and Ellen DeGeneres born on the same day. So we threw that out. As we sit here, thank you, Noelle. She's going to come back here in a second. As we sit here on this 26th day, it is Championship Sunday. We got the two games that we will have for you today. Can't get in front of a TV. The NFC Championship game is first. Pre-game at 2, kick it followed by the AFC game. As you watch these games today, know that they are where they are. The NFL is where it's, for the most part, because of one man. And that man was born on this day.
Okay.
Or excuse me, his birth. Oh, let me smash my. Yeah, no. And that is Pete Rozelle.
Okay.
Would you agree?
Very much. He made the NFL a must-see TV event.
He brought the leagues together. And then, of course, introduced the Super Bowl and fought with Al Davis on a regular basis.
He fought with quite a few folks. But, well, the idea is he was pulling it in this direction. He had that vision. And, you know, it became that. Became what it is.
What
we see in the day, right?
Right. So anyway, that happened on this day. But also, and Noel, I want to bring you in, and I'm just going to ask you, because this is one of those conversations that everybody has when something happens, and they say, where were you when you heard this? And today was the day that we lost Kobe and Gigi on the helicopter crash. And so do you remember, Mr. Crenshaw, how you received that news? Where were you when it happened?
I'm trying to remember where I was.
All right,
just hearing it was something that people were saying, I've heard. It wasn't anything they, you know, because it sounds too unbelievable.
Right, at the moment, right?
So people weren't believing it.
Noel, do you remember where you were? Well, I mean, to the point where it was, yeah, as Sam said, it was, you heard about it, but you were waiting for confirmation. Everybody flipped to ESPN or wherever to get confirmation, and then it slowly started coming in. It was mid-afternoon, but where were you?
I was watching a Hawks game. Realizing it was Vince Carter's birthday, which meant, I need to call my nephew because it's my nephew's birthday. Oh, I need to call my uncle because it's my uncle's birthday. TMZ said, what? Yeah, that's how that went.
Yeah.
I got the phone. I checked Twitter and it was like, TMZ said, what?
Yeah.
I was resting on the sofa. Just, you know, me and Jesse. And Tracy came in and was like, did you hear what happened? I was like, no. And she told me that, you know, what had happened. So it is one of those moments where people, you know, every generation has that one person, you know, whether it's a pope or it's an elected official or your favorite movie star or whatever. But then there's that next level. Where were you when you heard Ali passed? Where were you when Kobe falls into that category? So anyway, today was the day we lost him in 2020.
Yeah.
Him, Gigi, and I believe seven others on the helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
So. Just wanted to throw that out there. Going to talk to Karen Pestana coming up here in just a minute. Tennis Panorama putting a wrap on the Aussie Open.
We got a local champion. We got a local champion who won the women's doubles championship. So somebody's going to bring some hardware back to Atlanta. We'll talk with her about it.
All right. It's Madison Keys. And then Chris Brewster is going to join us. Going to get you guys. I'm going to make y'all tough. Well, I'm going to try to at least and let you know where you can get into shape. And for those of you who are thinking about, you know, I want to get into an industry, but I want to, you know, it'd be nice to get into a fight with Actor X or, you know, whoever. Well, the person who we have on here has been Iron Man, Superman, you know, all the heroes, the big super tough people in movies. This guy has played their double or stunt for them. So Chris Brewster is going to join us here. And Gil Tyree coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. But Mr. Crenshaw, it is time to turn things over to you, let you know what's going on locally.
Just a few things. Basically some college basketball. We talked college basketball, some games that were coming up in. Kind of a rough afternoon for teams from my area. Georgia taking on Florida, and Florida beats them 89-59. Georgia now 14-6. Life on the road in the SEC ain't the easy thing that it used to be when you talk about the basketball. Like I said, the football conference is playing basketball these days, folks. Watch out for them. Kennesaw State on the road at UTEP. Texas El Paso gets them 73-71. Georgia State was at home. James Madison beats them 86-79. Furman beats Mercer 79-74. But the alma mater gets the win. West Georgia over North Florida.
Got his hand on the side, y'all.
92-72. All right, shout out to the Wolves with the win there. Over at AU Center, a couple of losses yesterday. Tight, tough losses. Fort Valley 58, Morehouse 57. Albany State 68, Clark Atlanta 64. Those were games going on there. Once again, reminding people about the basketball tournaments that are coming up. Two, not one, but two HBCU basketball conference tournaments will be going on in our area in March. The SIAC tournament. Who's in the SIAC? Morehouse, Clark Atlanta, Savannah State, you know, Fort Valley State, Albany State, Tuskegee, Miles. Those are the schools, some of the schools that are in that conference. Their tournament will be at Morehouse this year, March 5th. Through 8th. The next week, The SWAC tournament will be at Gateway Arena. That's where Atlanta Dream plays, down by the airport, March 11th through 15th. Who's in the SWAC? That will be schools like Jackson State, Grambling, Southern, Florida A&M, Bethune-Cookman, Arkansas Pine Bluff, Texas Southern. Those are the teams that will be playing in that conference. So for 2 weeks, you're going to have HBCU conference basketball going on in Atlanta. You want to get out and catch it. It's going to be a lot of fun, going to be a lot of great music. These schools bring their pep bands, and everybody jams, and the basketball is fun. So, and plus, in the SWAC tournament, well, in both tournaments, the winners get bids to March Madness, to the NCAA tournament. So we watch for that. Baseball tournament coming up. I found out yesterday that Morehouse will be playing in a baseball tournament in New Orleans called the Ron Washington Classic.
Ah, get out. Really?
Ron Washington Classic is going to be in New Orleans. It's going to be in early February. And Morehouse will play against Rust. Rust is an HBCU located in Mississippi. Also, Miles College will be there as well. So great to see Ron Washington attaching his name to an event that's going to include HBCU baseball that is coming up. But I got to say something before we go here. A sad note for people who follow HBCU basketball. A couple of weeks ago, we lost a gentleman named Abraham Mitchell. Abraham Mitchell was 95 years old. Abraham Mitchell would go to the CIAA basketball tournament, and that's Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association. Those are the schools basically in the Virginias and North Carolina. That's your Elizabeth City State. That's your Virginia State, your Virginia Union, your Shaw, your St. Aug, your Bowie State. Anyway, he would go to this tournament every year and dress in outfits, complete outfits, in the colors of the teams of the conference. So he would come through the door at this tournament with big bag of clothing. People have to help him bring in suits. And he would change at halftime of the game.
Of the two teams that were playing?
Of the two teams that were playing. And he would dress in a complete suit, hat, shoes.
Oh, you know he's going to be clean.
Umbrella, everything. And people would just love to take pictures with this man, Mr. CIAA. And so he was someone that would come. You're laughing.
I'm just picturing it. I'm thinking of our friend downstairs on the 8th floor who we go see after our show on Sundays.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? Oh, man, he would have a hard time keeping up with this man. And I think he designed a lot of them himself. He lived in Virginia. And I think it started because he had a nephew that played for Norfolk State years ago. And so he showed up in something those colors. But it ended up being something where he would come to the tournament every year. They would reserve a room for him to be like his changing room or whatnot.
Had his own dressing room,
huh? Had his own dressing room. And he was like, you have somebody like a human souvenir. People go to an event and just want to take pictures with him.
Okay. I don't know if I call him a souvenir.
Did you go to the tournament? Did you take a picture?
The greeter at Vegas or whatever.
People taking pictures with the man, because especially if he had on your school's color.
Oh, absolutely.
At the time of the game. So rest in peace to him. But 95 years old, Abraham Mitchell, Mr. CIAA.
And we were talking about Larry Tinsley downstairs.
Yeah, now
who
yeah.
is clean as
but
a
he don't wear, he don't bring the umbrella and the hat and everything.
He
just had a suit and the shoes.
All right, Sam and Greg, we're gonna start bringing on some guests here. Kyle's our first, but we're gonna bring on Karen Pastain, a family member. She of course gonna bring us up and bring us up to date, everything we need to know, but pretty much put a bow on fortnight of the Australian Open men's singles just fine. Now, are there still doubles matches that are played today?
I think everything's just about done. Like I said, we have a doubles champion, Taylor Townsend, who lives in Atlanta, won the women's doubles championship. So we got somebody who's going to bring some hardware back to Atlanta from over there. But, you know, we're all done. Everybody's packing up, and they're going to get back on the same time zone.
Yeah, and take a long nap.
Yep.
All right, well, Karen is going to join us next, Tennis Panorama. It is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You got your own walk-on music. You're special on this show. Karen Pastain at Tennis Panorama joining us on this day where it's you know, how do you guys feel? And I say this as I'm introducing her.
Yes.
Do you feel the same on a day like today that those of us that are football fans feel the day after the Super Bowl has happened? The Fortnite is over. The Aussie Open is over. One of the majors is done. For a while, do you have a feeling like a deep breath, kind of empty feeling? I start with, I can start with you. You're looking at me.
Yeah.
But I wondered if you and Karen feel that way as
we will get sleep. We will get nights of sleep.
Well, I'm appreciative of this, of getting some sleep after this. But it's not like a down feeling. It's, you know, this year you had someone who hadn't won the major before in Madison Keys. It's like, you know, great for her, just moving on with a major. No one can say anything or take it away from her. And as for Jannik Sinner, he just continues what he started last year, and it's, you know, and the changing of the guard has changed.
Yeah.
And as for all the Australian Opens over, we have four of these major tournaments in a year. So it's like, okay, count down to the next one, which is the French Open that's in May. So it's not exactly like the NFL where there's all one big Super Bowl and the playoffs, and you have to wait for so long to get to that. We have four times a year that we deal with these big majors.
All right. That's Karen Pistana, Tennis Panorama, joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, here's my next question. I said this to Sam once this ended, this match with Sinner in it, and I said to him, as they were showing the x-ray from my favorite tennis player, and I wondered aloud, of all the tournaments that a person who's coming back to perform with a, you know, off a hamstring injury, the French Open in my mind would be the worst, doing it on clay. Is that accurate, or is it doesn't really matter?
Clay, in terms of just playing on it, it kind of softens the blow and whatnot. So I don't necessarily think it'd be the worst. Like, hard court definitely would be the worst surface to be on, having a hamstring or a muscle tear or whatever. I think that out of the three major surfaces there, grass, clay, and hard court, that clay would be the better one for somebody who's injured.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's my opinion. I don't know what Sam's opinion is.
Yeah, I think so, too. For those of us who, you know, who try to go out and play, and maybe we're not as the petite as we need to be, it feels better if you play on the clay surface. It's a little more forgiving and a little, you know, you feel it a little less after you play than when you go out on a hard court. So that is definitely the difference. Folks, we're spending time this morning with Karen Pistana, Tennis Panorama News. She is social. You can always find her at Tennis News TPN. At Tennis News TPN, talk about Madison Keys and how did this come about? You know, she's been there forever. I won't say forever, but she's been there for a number of years. What allows her to have the breakthrough this time and to get the win?
I think for her, and she said yesterday in her news conference, that she always had the power and the skills to win a major. It was mentally she had to overcome hurdles to get there. And I think that's the big thing for her, that she took things in stride and bouncing back from a little bit of adversity. And, of course, you know, she got married just 2 months ago, so she's pretty happy and pretty relaxed as she can be and tries not to take things too seriously. But, you know, she has been working with a sports psychologist for a while now. But I guess for her, she said things like this just kicked in. She's way stronger mentally. In all honesty, I think that's the difference.
Yeah, she's always seemed to have the shots and you know, like a real shot maker, but putting them all together was great to see her doing it. We got somebody from here in Atlanta that's going to bring some hardware back, too. Taylor Townsend's part of the doubles championship team. We're very proud of her. Tell us about what she was able to do, and she once again solidifies herself as one of the top doubles players on the planet right now.
I mean, she and her partner, Siniakova, are number one in the world. They're number one seeds for a reason, and they won the tournament. And this is their second major together, the first being last year at Wimbledon. And at the U.S. Open, talking to Siniakova, she's the one who approached Taylor Townsend to play doubles because, I mean, Taylor is always, I mean, good player and always an excellent doubles player. And, you know, being lefty, I'm telling you, the lefty-righty combination and any doubles pairing is really you have an advantage. And it's worked out well for them. They made the semis of the U.S. Open. They didn't win it. But look, another major for them, and they're number one.
You know, I was just thinking about this tournament in its totality and the takeaways from it. And I'm actually kind of enjoying what I'm seeing, but I still have some wonder about what's next. Madison Keys getting this getting this win. But she's not going to begin a rivalry with Coco Gauff moving forward. She's on the back nine of her career. Then you have this person who decided, I'm going to put on the black hat. I just forgot her name.
Collins.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that. We talked about it last week. But she's going to be around for a long period of time, too.
No. In fact, last year she said it was going to be her last year playing, but she's here another year and says, this is my last year playing. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, people forget she made the finals, the Australian Open, a few years ago. Do I think she's a contender for a major right now? I'm not certain, because it seems sometimes injuries pop up with her. But, you know, she's in the top 10, and she's a top 10 player, so anything can happen.
So then my question is, moving forward, and we put Coco back there as the big draw, is there a rival for her? Who do you suspect is going to be the back and forth with Coco? Be Sloan Stephens? That doesn't seem to be the case. So who is it going to be that's going to bring people to the TV to watch these matches that aren't tennis fans? I mean, hardcore tennis fans.
Oh, you mean an American woman?
Whoever.
Okay, well, even though I wouldn't necessarily say it's a rivalry, it is a rivalry that you play. Iga Swiatek, even though Iga has a huge margin, winning margin against her, it's a popcorn match to watch them play each other. And, of course, Sabalenka, who Coco beat in the final of her lone major win, the U.S. Open, that's, I guess, another one. But it seems like Coco's plays Iga Swiatek a lot more than she plays Arena. So I guess you could say that at the moment.
Yeah. Well, on the men's side, we will expecting more from TFO and Taylor Fritz. And Fritz goes out to Monfils, and we just talked about him when the tournament began and how aggravating he's always been to watch down through the years. He put together a nice tournament run, and once he got to Ben Shelton, I think he said, "Okay, he went out after Ben Shelton." But thoughts about on the men's side what we got a chance to see, and also Shelton playing an impressive first set against Sinner, but obviously a lesson learned in that match for him.
Yeah, well, as Ben Shelton is concerned, he's got all the goods. But sometimes there's a tendency to be careless and not think enough about the point he's playing. So yes, it's great to be able to have the firepower that he has, but he has to use that firepower wisely and be more strategic with it. He has the skills. He just needs to have, I hate to use the discipline to use the power and his skills when he at appropriate times, and not just hit everything hard and half of the shots are going out. he's young. He and Sinner, I think, are the same age. So there's plenty of time for him to get there. As for TFO, in my honest opinion, he needs to have some kind of endurance training, because lately, in this past year and a half, it seems like he kind of loses his stamina when they're getting to fourth and fifth sets. I don't know what it is. Maybe he should start training in Dubai with the heat. I don't know, because that's what Federer used to do.
Yeah.
He has the skills, too. Lately, though, it's been an endurance kind of issue with him.
I was going to let you ask the next question, but she said something that I'd never heard before.
What was that?
That was Federer trained in Dubai when he was playing, and that was in preparation for the Australian Open. Is that what you're saying?
In preparation for every place he played.
Really?
He had a spot in Dubai where he practiced and did training. And regardless of who was coaching him at the time. So that's how, I can't think of Federer ever. He never retired from a match in his pro career. Never. So that says something.
So he had literally a place that had the three different surfaces.
I'm sure.
Down in Dubai.
Probably so.
Where he could go and practice.
Right.
Yep.
Well, when you win 20 majors and are worth so much money in endorsements, you have the bucks to do that.
I'm about to say, them first world problems right there. Right?
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, very much. But that's something because, you're right. When I saw Tiafoe, and he was suffering with the heat, And I always tell Greg, it's really tough on American players because we're coming from our fall and winter, and even a holiday break, and all of a sudden you're there, and it's summer, it's sweltering hot, and you got to go out and perform. And it seemed like it really caught him, especially playing those five-set matches. And we've seen, you know, players who had those, like John Isner was notorious for having five-set matches in the first couple of rounds, and by the end of the week he was wiped out in major events. So you got to, when you're a player like that, you got to be able to have the stamina to last if you don't go out there and get your business handled in three or four sets.
It's so true, so true. You got to have the stamina if you're going to go five sets.
They're saying this center may be the most boring number one player in the world the sport has seen in a while.
Who said that?
I mentioned that
Nobody's
to Sam, and
that.
Sam said, oh, maybe Pete Sampras.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, everybody used to say that Pete Sampras was boring. Well, if winning is boring, I'll take being boring.
Yeah. I'm just saying. But in a world where you need to, you don't necessarily need to, but it helps if you have some semblance of a personality, not only for your own pocketbook, but again, to bring people to the various platforms to watch you play. If you're,
yes, it's true, but for some people don't. It's not their nature to be. I don't know.
Understood. Can't force it. It's got to be natural.
Yep,
I get that.
Yep. Especially, I always remember. Yeah, Pete Sampras. You know, quiet guy, did what he had to do. And center, he's kind of the same. He's kind of quiet and whatnot, but he wins on court, and he's sparkling with his play on court. I'll say that.
All right. Well, Karen, listen, we're going to miss you because we're not going to talk to you again until the French, unless somebody does something silly in there. But you get some rest.
I am.
Believe me.
I'll be in touch with you always. I'll be in touch with you. But, we both look forward to getting some sleep now at Australian.
Absolutely.
Open.
I know. Tell me about it.
Would y'all get on the phone, give each other the secret tennis handshake or something like that?
Just social media. Just go back and forth. Yeah. If something happens, say, did you see that? And she'll hit me back. Yep. You know.
Strawberries and cream together on a Zoom call or something.
Something like that.
All right, Karen, listen. Enjoy the NFL these next couple of weeks. And as always, tell your husband I said hello.
See.
I
will. Had to do that.
All right. Take care, guys.
There you go. Karen Prestay, the Tennis Panorama. It is Sam and Greg. It's going to get kind of tough around here in a minute. We're going to hopefully – he's dealing with a lot of stuff in his house. He got a sick wife. He got some sick kids.
Oh, no.
But hopefully Chris Brewster will be able to join us. We had him on a month or so ago. But I'm going to start trying to bring people within the industry on here to talk about not just what they do but opportunities they're providing for those of you out there who are thinking about dipping your toe into this, you know, or just training out at his location. Going to talk about the vault, too. But anyway, hopefully Chris Brewster will be with us next. It is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And take us with you on the Odyssey app.
I can't tell you how sick I got of this song.
What?
When it was on the radio, I got so – it seemed
really?
Like – I think it was over a summer. And it was like number one. I got so sick of it. Very
yep,
sick of
it. We learned something this weekend. You got sick of this song.
Yep.
Noel don't like Alicia Keys.
Yep.
It's been an interesting weekend.
Yeah.
This used to cause fights in at the roller rink. Brothers would think they're Bruce Lee and all that stuff.
It wouldn't have caused no fight with me. I was just like, you know, wake me up when it's over.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Sunday morning, 26th day of January. I would imagine that our next guest is kind of sick of this, but we're going to get to that in a second. Also, I was thinking about this, too.
He may not be a fan of this song, either.
He might not be, you know, but I'm not going to, you know. If he's not, we ain't playing it again. Because I believe we're talking to one of the baddest dudes in the planet. Yeah. I absolutely
he
believe.
He might have a different song. He might have another song that he likes.
Well, he probably plays it at the vault.
There
but let
you
me
go.
Just drive you guys to the website and let you know. This is normally the casting call segment. I let you know about the money that's flying through the air as far as the jobs in front of the camera. And we got a fresh one that's up there. And everybody from Roselock Casting to Casting Tailor Made to our friend January, Destination Casting, all have
How's
projects.
She doing?
January is just beautiful.
Okay.
Her and her crew of people just, you know, doing a great job. This is an interesting time for the people in the industry, positively and unfortunately negatively.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that we speak to here, much like Chris, who's going to come on here, have connections, relatives, friends out in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And they are going through some stuff. So as I just kind of stay the course and let you know about the opportunities that are here in Georgia in front of the camera. Again, Extras Casting Atlanta. Patrick, who's another friend of the show.
Right.
He's got a new project up looking for female cops, reaching out to the Asian community, doctors, nurses. All of this stuff is there for you. So you go to 929thegame.com/castingcall. You'll see the list. You'll also see it up on X at Get Cast with Greg on Twitter. That's got me all discombobulated.
Whichever one.
Whatever they're calling it this week.
This week.
So I am attempting to, in 2025, bring as many people within the industry on our show.
Okay.
To talk about what they do as often as I can. It ain't easy getting folks that work the hours they do on set to get up during our show.
True. But I think listeners or people who may have an interest may, you know, heard you say, man, I'm interested in that. To hear from someone who's doing it, you know what, might add a little something to it.
You gotta want it to be a stunt person. But Chris is not just a stunt person. He's a veteran stunt man, if you will, but he's also a director, he's a producer. He is part of the fabric of the industry. And I honestly believe I'm gonna embarrass him with this because he's doing a great job at home. This man is taking care of the family at the house. They got a little bug going around.
Oh no.
But there ain't three people that you could bring around him that he ain't scared of. I'm thinking about Chris putting you in a ring with Conor McGregor. I heard that his next bout has been canceled.
Yeah.
They said that UFC, they nixed that him and Logan Paul fight. So I'm thinking that Chris could probably give Conor McGregor, because Chris knows everything. Anyway, welcome to the show, Chris Brewster. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
How'd you like that setup? It was pretty good?
Oh, that was fantastic. Ironically, I was supposed to stunt double Connor on Roadhouse last year.
What? Really?
Really?
Yeah. The stunt coordinator is a great buddy of mine, Garrett Warren, and I was supposed to go out there. I mean, I grew the beard, I got ready, and the schedules didn't line up. But I mean, that is absolutely one of the people I am. I am told that I look like and move like quite often.
I can actually see that. You never met Chris before.
Let me ask you something. You're talking about growing the beard, so they couldn't like make adjustments to you on the set there. They wouldn't have no makeup somebody that could do something.
But it
you
might get knocked off.
Oh no, they do. But what that is they basically glue a dead animal to your face. I mean, prosthetics are not the most comfortable thing, and there was a lot of work that involved diving into the water on that film.
Yeah.
So they just basically told me there would be like a fake beard on my face that was soaking wet for months on a time. So I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna grow mine out and see what happens.
Look at man, I'm telling you.
All right.
Chris Brewster joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Look, I got so many questions for him, but I want to take care of a little bit of business because one of the reasons I'm bringing Chris on, much like the other people, is to let our audience know about the opportunities that people within the industry are providing. It may not get you into a movie right away, but what it does is it trains you in a way that you may not have thought about. Hey, this is kind of cool here. And it's not just, you know, going in there and beating people up. He's got aerialists. I mean, think of all those performers in Cirque du Soleil.
Okay.
They do that. I walked in his gym. They had all these kind of chains and stuff hanging up from the ceiling and doing stuff. So let's start with what happens, Chris, on Saturdays at the Vault that the public can be a part of?
So Saturdays we have a open to all stunt training class from noon until 2 o'clock. We have some people who have never done a day of stunts, and we have some people who have been in the business for 10 or 15 years that all meet together, and we have an all levels intro to stunt class where we teach all of the basic fundamentals. We let people see what the stunt world is all about and just kind of share the knowledge that we've acquired over the last 20, 30 years. And it's a really, really incredible class. And we love to give back to the community what we've all gotten from it.
Let me ask you a question. Is there a certain age you start doing this? Because I do a lot of reporting and covering of high school athletics and some young folks who are, you know, in great shape and great condition. But is there a certain age that you need to be when you start considering doing this type of work?
Well, most of the time you cannot actually be a professional stunt performer until you're 18. There are opportunities where we need to bring in people that are below 18, but, you know, it doesn't happen very often. However, we have a lot of high schoolers that are training all of the fundamentals so that once they turn 18, they're ready to jump into the stunt world and, you know, they've kind of got a leg up on the competition. So as of right now, the majority of our students and members are adults, but we do have some high schoolers jumping in, and we are developing a program called Tomorrow's Superheroes that mm-hmm. will be literally all ages. I mean, we're going to be starting from 2-year-olds up just to, you know, teach children all of the fun aspects of the stunt world without you know, getting too into the falling and crashing and that stuff. But just so that they can start moving like their favorite superheroes and their favorite characters.
This is what I remember playing sports growing up, and I would imagine this is what Chris teaches, and maybe a little differently, but you'd be surprised how many people don't know how to fall,
right,
or what we watch in football,
right,
don't know how to slide, don't
mm-hmm.
know how to roll, out of things. Am I correct, Chris? And how much that would help you if you knew that?
Well, the body awareness and air awareness that you get from doing the stunt falls apply to everything. You have no idea how often people tell us that, you know, they came in, they did one of our falling classes, and then they slipped. I mean, it's been snowy and icy the last couple of weeks, and a lot of people have come in and said, hey, I just slipped outside and I would have cracked my head open, but I knew how to fall. And basically, you're learning how to fall without getting hurt.
Yeah. There you go. Chris Brewster, veteran stuntman, been in pretty much every big movie as far as double, and as you heard him talking earlier about some of his projects, but also a producer, a director, and a guy I want our audience to get to know. All right, we've been talking about what goes on at the vault. By the way, the vault, again, location?
It is 126 Peach State Court in Tyrone, Georgia.
Tyrone, Georgia. I went out there last week. Now, one of the other things what Chris does and his stable of staff, I don't know what to call them, but anyway, they have a boot camp.
Okay.
Now, he just finished one, but he has another one coming up. I wanted you to take a second and talk about the upcoming boot camp.
So our stunt boot camps are 30-day programs where within 30 days we are giving all of the campers 5 years worth of knowledge and skills that they would acquire, you know, if they were to start stunts today, where they would be in 5 years. We get them there in 30 days. So everything from fighting, falling, reactions, weapon work, how to hold a knife, how to disarm a knife, how to hold a gun, how to disarm a gun. We teach them how to do fight scenes, how to perform fight scenes, also how to film and edit fight scenes. You know, it's an incredible program. We have one that starts 1 week from tomorrow, and that is our Tactical boot camp, where we are basically doing all things SWAT, military,
wow,
police enforcement, all things that make you look tactical on camera.
What did you call that? Did you say tactical cool?
Yeah.
Tactical, yeah.
Tactical, okay.
Well, think about this, because if you get a role playing a stunt double or something and you talk about a SWAT team, you got to suit up in the gear just like a regular,
yep,
officer would, right?
Absolutely, and it takes next to nothing to make the audience realize that you are faking it. So it's so very important, whether somebody is an actor, a stunt performer, even an extra, if you don't know the proper way to carry a gun, if you don't know the proper way to walk while holding a gun, it is the surest way to show people that you're acting and you're not really the character.
And that's
so we teach all of that.
Yeah, it's the same as when you see people who are supposed to be doctors. You know, that's why they have nurses and doctors as consultants on set. He's on set doing, you know, making sure that the guns are, they have military people, they have law enforcement, depending on the scene. Exactly what you're talking about, Sam. So the authenticity, we now are educated enough as an audience, go, that ain't really what he's supposed to be doing or she's supposed to be doing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right?
You get that all the time. Now, Chris, taking that to the next level, once they go through the boot camp or people feel like they're qualified enough to at least let the industry know that, hey, I would like to be a stunt person, is there a certificate? Is there what happens to get certified, or how long does that take? And is there a next level that people need to go through once they feel like the training has prepared them properly?
So ironically, the United States is the only country in the world that does not have a registry or an actual certification program that allows people to be professional stunt performers. Basically, you need to get your SAG card, which you can get through doing stunts or through even being an extra for 3 days, and then you're qualified. We are trying to fix that. The way the program is in the United States, it's why we have so many people getting injured and, unfortunately, people dying on set, because things are not done as safely as they can be. There's just a lot of the blind leading the blind. So we are actually creating the first curriculum-based stunt certification program in the United States. And while that is going, I mean, what we do is we ensure that every single person that trains with us has all expected abilities and is 100% prepared and ready to jump on set, and they are ready for whatever challenges come their way. They're ready to keep themselves and anybody around them safe.
There you go. Listen, we are up against it this time, but this is, again, now this is visit number two. We're going to keep bringing this dude back.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be part of the show. So, Chris, you know, luckily he's got kids that get him up early in the morning. So, again, unless he's on set someplace or out of the country, you know, fighting somebody, we're going to bring you back here. But, again, let everybody know where they can find out the information about the upcoming boot camp and Saturdays at the Vault.
You can find everything at either thevaultstunts.com or on our Instagram, just thevaultstunts.
All right, man. Listen, get some chicken soup to that family of yours and take care of them today. Keep them warm and enjoy the games. And I will be talking to you soon, sir.
Sounds good. Always great talking to you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
There you go. That is Chris Brewster. Listen, the other thing I want to bring him on to talk about, this is because throughout the time we've been doing this show, we've talked about athletes who are not making it to that professional level. Then we hear about them being on pit crews for NASCAR.
Right.
We hear about them doing other things. Well, here's another outlet for them. And, hey, listen, and the industry is here throughout the entire state of Georgia. You don't have to be up here in Atlanta for it. But, again, just something else to consider.
True.
That's what I'm trying to bring here.
Very
All
much.
Right, coming up, the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Gil Tyree as the Eagles get ready to try and ascend to the Super Bowl again. Hawks, they're limping around right now. They got to go up against Minnesota on Monday night, but yesterday afternoon, not so good.
Yeah.
Not so good against Toronto. We're going to talk more about them in the NBA. Up next, it is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.